Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
life has only just begun. We wed this land and pledged our souls to meet its end. Life has only just begun. Hear my people roam the earth in the kingdom of our birth, where the dust of all our horses hides the sun. We are mighty on the earth, on the earth.
You have come to move me, take me from my ancient home, land of my fathers, I can't leave you now. We will share it with you, no man on this earth we're on. Now the wheels are rolling, hear the howling winds of war.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman. How you doing? And Heather. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hello.
Well, I thought we'd set you up for everybody on before we start doing our little talking.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Go for it.
No? Yes.
I'm a chatterbox, okay, but I had to put it on mute because I'm downtown Manitou yet again. And people walk by, and I know, like, every other person that walks by. So, yeah, anyway, it's fun.
Yeah, anyway, we're going to sit here and go off before we can start with a quick thing and say, hey, you know, this is Psychic X Journey Man. This is Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. If you want to give a call in to get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. And the queue is actually full. And also, the situation of giving out personal information, the idea if you want to do private readings, which I recommend that you do private readings because we do about anything and everything, from meditations to angel tarot card readings to focusing on mediumship work and that kind of stuff, and light work. Light, what do they call that? Sheesh. Light.
What do they call
what? Oh, so it blanked for a minute. It was like the idea of going, we do all kinds of meditations, and we do a lot of, I actually blank on that one, too.
Okay. Are you talking about energy
coaching.
Work?
Life coaching.
Okay. I thought you said light work, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I work on your lights. Anyway. yes, we do life coaching, relationship counseling. We have parties and that kind of stuff, too, as well. If you have a convention, like, for us to show up, give us a call. If you want to get a reading or come to the shop, we actually have a shop down Manitou Springs, Colorado, down on, 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. So therefore, come down, see us, that kind of stuff. But I recommend you call and make an appointment before you show up. If you don't, well, you can still show up. Anyway, it just seems like it makes it a little easier to get some, you know, everybody's prepared, everybody's ready to go. So if you want to give a call and get a reading and do a private session with me, we also do phone work too as well. So therefore, it's your privacy is our main important thing that we want to keep focused on too as well, okay? So give us a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com or come to the shop for a personal experience at 946 and a half Manitou Springs, okay, it's 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs. Also, Heather does light work. So there, Heather, give her your information.
Yes, I do light work, which is energy work as well. It's the same thing. I've been told it's very similar to Reiki. However, I do have my own specific thing that I do.
Your own twist on things, huh?
Yes, I do. So it's not Reiki. It's just something that comes natural. So, but it is very effective, and it's very awesome. Anyways, you can reach me at 435-503-4577, or you can email me at heather.love.light@gmail.com. Please, please call and leave a message, and I will call you back and set up an appointment so that we can visit.
And hey, what was that number again?
Hi, honey. I'm saying hello. I'm Miss Ashley.
oh, my God.
We're on the radio. Say hello.
Hi.
All right. Anyway, so, I'm sorry, what was that last part that you said?
That last thing I said was, could you tell the number one more time?
Oh, yes, it is 435-503-4577.
You got some crazy people down there.
We are on Manitou Avenue, and you never know what you're going to hear. Anyway, so... 435-503-4577. Please call, leave a message. I will call you back, and I will set up an appointment.
All right. Also, if you guys want to sit there and look into some new techniques for meditation, check out HemiSync CDs and MP3 downloads. They're really cool. All you got to do is go down to www.hemisync.com. Get the lowdown on the whole thing and be great because I actually use these CDs myself and they actually help you actually utilize both your hemispheres. Your brain may actually start listening to the CDs again and it can actually help you out with your meditation, focus, and they have them for everything. So give them a shot and that kind of thing. Be really good. All right, so we have some callers in the queue, so let's go to our first caller, which is Canary Code 407. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
I'm great. My name is Takira.
Your name is what?
Hello? My name is Takira.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida, South Florida. But I stay in Orlando, but I'm out of town now, so I'm in Florida.
Okay, no
so,
problem. How can we?
Yeah, so this is my first time calling here, so.
Okay.
So.
Good.
Okay. Well, I had a job offer for someone from someone, and he wanted me to know how to drive. So I won't have to depend on anyone. So I started learning how to drive now. And I spoke to him like 3 days ago, and he told me he had needed someone, so he had to hire someone that was available. So now he told me that I have to wait till someone leaves or get fired. And I want to know, is there another job out there for me? Like, do you get, like, what if I just say, like, you can just give me a reading what you see about myself? Is that better? Is that an X in that question?
No, it's okay. It's the idea of the situation about jobs and stuff.
Well, I probably already know that answer. Because it probably be, like, I'll be available as soon as I finish learning how to drive. So I probably know that answer. So that's why I ask, do you, like, is it possible that you can, like, do a reading for me, like, without me asking a question, like, that type of question? Like, what do you see?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to answer your question about the lady and the job and the driving. I think it's just a waste of time and the idea of moving on and the idea of the job coming in toward the end of the month.
Yeah, it probably is. Probably next month it can be this month or next month. But yeah, what about the driving? Like, how will it change my life? Like, will it get my life get better since I won't have to depend on anyone? I can just go out and do more things, like once I finish learning how to drive. And I'll get out the house more.
Yes, it definitely will. I had the right word. Like, it will definitely open your life up for you like you never believed.
Honey, here's
Heather,
the
what
thing.
Are you thinking of?
Here's the thing. You got claim your power, honey. You don't have to rely on anybody. Nobody. You are a magnificent, powerful woman, okay? You have been given just as many abilities as anybody on the face of this earth, okay? You just got to own it. You got to have to trust yourself. You can do this, okay? If you want to learn anything, you got to figure out where do they teach that? What do they teach you how to drive? What do they teach you how to type or how to read or how to whatever, how to dance? But it doesn't matter. If you want to learn something, go learn it. Don't rely on anyone else but you. Because you've got this. You've got this. And once you do that, you have all the freedom in the world. And you're set. And you don't have to rely on anybody. And then you can be an equal companion. Okay?
Yes.
Does that make sense? I'm sorry. I get so... I was the little, you know, the little homemaker with the children, the babies at home, and I didn't work. And my grandpa just told me that he wanted to give me a business, just hand it over. And it was a very, very successful business. And I was like, you did? I don't think I could have done it. I was a shy, scared little girl raising babies. Now I'm like, oh, my gosh, I would love to have done that. That would have been my thing. I would have been so grateful for that. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. You're here learning in this lifetime. Okay?
Yes.
So. It's time. Just go for it. I've been in your shoes. That's why I was telling you what I was telling you. But you've got this. You can do this. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Don't rely on any man.
Yeah, I know you shouldn't rely on any man.
No,
no. Because you'll be stuck. Just rely on yourself.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? I hate to say this, but if you have to go without food, if you have to go without something, if you have to go without a vehicle, walk. Go. Do whatever it takes. You do not need another person. Yes, we get to have companionship in this world, and yes, we get to have friends, but that independence is so freeing. I can't even tell you. It is just incredible. It's like being able to spread your wings and fly. Wonderful. Anyways, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
Okay.
I'm going to go on mute again.
How are you?
Yes, I am.
So?
I don't mean to, like, run over everybody. I just get excited, especially for women. I want all women to be independent and free.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So, was our caller, does it help
yes.
you?
Yes. Yes, it helped me.
Okay. Thank you for calling today.
Yeah, I'll stay on the phone so I can hear the radio.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go on to our next caller, which is area code 305. Hello, 305. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Eileen, it's been a couple of years since we chatted. How are you? Doing great? It's good to see you up there, Psychic X-Man.
Well,
hey,
you.
I have a question for you. Are you knowledgeable at all about Hollow Earth?
Am I knowledgeable of what now?
Hollow Earth.
Oh, yeah, we've done the whole thing, the situation of focusing on a lot of those things. We've actually explored many, many different directions on a lot of things. We even started talking about, well, I saw this thing on television where it was talking about the first people, and the first people were actually far advanced than Atlanteans, but they were actually before the dinosaurs. So your Hollow Earth, like with Jules Verne's and Journey to the Center of Earth, is actually tipping
right.
on that whole thing about the idea of a society under the ocean, well, under
right.
the earth, which is
right.
like it's like a geo, I guess is what they call those things.
Right.
Like a pocket.
But my question is, so is this a physical, literally a physical place, or is it another dimension?
No, it's actually a physical place. It's the idea. We just haven't tapped
okay.
on it, but it's the idea. It's a hollow, the hollow earth. It's not that, it's not like the whole earth is hollow. There's a spot, and it's just a lot of people. Jules Verne is one of those people that, one of those authors, when you start reading his stuff, almost everything he's ever written about has actually happened. He actually had a book called The First Men in the Moon,
right.
where it was actually talking about a guy who actually came up with this way of actually taking a spear and using some kind of some kind of luminous paint that he put on the outside of the spear that actually made it weightless. And then when you actually shift certain things, he had little blinds on each one of the windows, and when you shifted them, it would make the spear go in different directions. And they actually took this spear and went to the moon and actually found out there was a society, civilization of these certain kind of insects that were actually occupying the inside of the earth. So he had this thing in his mind where he was constantly talking about hollow, always inside, and how it was actually realistically more feasible because of using the earth itself as a protection from the environment and that stuff too as well.
Okay.
But it was really cool.
And
it
you've
was
heard
more,
of
yeah.
Telos, right? You've heard of Telos? The Telosians?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
Is it the same? Is it the one and the same?
Well, the impression I get is yes.
Okay.
They are.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. That makes sense to me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I resonate with all that. I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well. I've changed everything in my life. And I'm floating right now, and I'm really basking in myself at this time in my life, just in a really peaceful space, a really creative space, and moved out of that location, and now I'm just really happy, really happy.
And while you're here, say hello to Heather, who's my co-host now.
Hi, Heather. Heather and her bubbly self.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just watching all the wonderful changes going on the planet and people waking up.
Isn't it magnificent?
It's magnificent. It's good.
I know. I love it. I love it. Oh, and you know, there's so many amazing people that just end up in my life, and I'm so grateful. And the people who don't sit there just kind of make their way out. I love it.
Oh yeah,
I love
it. It's really a time of discrimination for all of us to let go of things that no longer give us any kind of support or joy.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
And to make our dreams manifest and really ask for what it is and focus on that and just bring it down. Right?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Bring out energy, yes. It's one of those situations talking to people because it's amazing. I've actually done some readings on people who've done, especially women. There's been a couple women who've actually had me had some really strong resistance. You start mentioning chakras and auras and they start talking about, I don't really need to hear that BS. I just want to be in a situation where I can actually have a boyfriend or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not really opening your eyes to seeing exactly what's going on, because what you're actually focusing on right now is actually something of the past. It doesn't, you know, people are starting to see things what they are. And
yeah.
It was kind of funny how this, I had a lady go off on me one night, and she said, I want to hear this BS. I want you to tell him I have a boyfriend. I'm like, no. And she was like, what? I said, you're not willing to do any kind of work. You're not willing to change anything. I understand the situation and the concept of people finding someone who's going to appreciate you and accept you for who you are. But realistically, at that moment, she wasn't accepting herself.
Right.
It's the ideal. My thing is like this. When people say, I want to find somebody to accept me for who I am, realistically, all I can hear is a person says, I refuse to change. So therefore, I want to find someone who's going to put up with that, not realizing that no one's going to, because for one thing is we're always changing, we're always evolving. That's not going to change, that's not going to stop. And the ideal spirituality is a lifetime commitment and a lifetime of constant change and moving on and letting go of things that no longer contribute to our happiness. And the ideal even comes to the point of realizing that it's actually our birthright to be happy, and we deserve everything that happens and everything that comes in our lives. We were sitting and talking about this the other day, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but we had a conversation with this lady, and I said to her, you know something, we are gods. And actually, it was
That's
a part
right.
of the Bible where Jesus even says the thing, that
That's
you are
right.
gods, and you'll create more better works than I do. She said, where does it say that as? Like, I'm not going to go and find it in the Bible, but I'm saying, we are. It does say that we are made in the image of a god. Adam was
That's
made
right.
in the image of a god. We're all descendants of Adam. She said, just because you're made in the image of a god doesn't mean you are one. I'm like, okay, if I'm made in the image of a tree, am I a car? No, I'm a
right.
tree.
Right.
And she was like, It's almost like she was mad because I made a point and she actually got it and she didn't want to hear it. That's pretty bad. But
well,
like,
it's fearing. It's fearful for her because it disrupts everything she's ever paid attention to and what she's held on to. And now she would have to take responsibility of acting as an omnipotent point presence on this planet. And that's way out of her line or reach. But you said something really important. You said something that people are putting up with. And I keep hearing that from friends of mine that are going through upsetting times in their life. Said, well, I don't want to put up. How long do we have to put up? I said, wait a second. We're not here to put up with anything. We're not here to suffer. We're not here to have to go through the same rituals and the rigmarole that our parents did because of their parents teaching that way and that way and that way. And all of the history of mankind is slowly dissolving, and it's freeing up people to all of a sudden get in touch with their free will. And some people are so happy and so joyful because they've always lived by their free will, and other people don't know the first thing about being free. And it's kind of like freaky for them that they are allowed to go out of their house for the first time. You mean no one's going to tell me that I can't do it? Oh, my God. So light bulbs are going off on people like that young girl that just called in. This is her moment mm-hmm. of taking charge for the first time in her life of her own every movement in her own individual day activities. And by doing that, mm-hmm. all she has to do is see that life is like a ladder. You just go up one more rung, and then you look down, and now you're no longer there on the ground. You're going higher. And as you keep adding to your platform of going up the ladder, you get stronger and you get more empowered and you get more confidence and you get stronger and you start attracting people that help you go higher.
That's also, you look at the situation too, as you're going up the ladder, like any other ladder, some people have a tendency to not scared of heights or anything like that, but there is a point where the ladder has a tendency to do something that's out of the ordinary and you're going, okay, that was kind of scary. But if you continue to go forward, you have a tendency to learn one thing. You learn how to balance yourself to keep going.
Yeah.
And that was key.
Right.
You know, balance is so important. Being grounded. Because the ladder itself, it's like the idea we saw this the other day. I was telling this lady, we saw about connection. And I'm tired of answering questions for women who keep asking me, you know, me and this guy have a connection, but how does he feel about me? And I'm like, okay, why are you not using the connection that you have to get the answer you're looking for, which is within yourself? Okay. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, is there a connection between the two of us? I said, it's like if you're sitting in that chair and your ass is on the chair, do you ask your ass every 5 minutes if it's still connected? No, it's a certainty. You have all this faith and trust in that chair. How come people can't have that kind of faith in themselves within any kind of relationship or situation, that kind of stuff? Because all the success, anything you have ever experienced on this planet is because the intentions and decisions to follow through those intentions, that's what happened. And people don't understand because they keep asking, am I going to get a job? I don't know. Do you want one? They go, is it that easy? Yes, it's that easy. You just sit there and say, okay, what kind of job do you want? I've actually told this one story many, many times because people keep saying, I'm not qualified. And I sit there and said, or I don't feel like I'm worthy, or just all kinds of excuses. And I said, to start a business, what do you need? And they go, money? I said, no, you need a vision.
Right.
And then follow that vision, which is your intention, to follow through.
Right.
The idea
right.
of creating something that you love and you're passionate about. But you see, that's the key, too. Love and passion. Okay? Not the idea of going out there and saying, I got to make money to survive. I'm not telling you how to survive. I'm telling you how to actually thrive.
Donnie, people don't listen to spirit enough. And once they start listening to spirit, that little voice in their head, in their heart, in their gut, that's when their life is going to shift. And if they pay more attention to hearing and paying attention to being quiet and hearing that still small voice within, that's how everything's going to change for them. That's the best guidance I can give people. Just how do you, you know, say what it is and then how do you feel in your belly? Does it make you feel sad? One friend of mine, she said, oh, I feel tortured. I said, well, then don't do it, right? Is that what your body is telling you? Don't do it. Then she changed.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped doing it. She got rid of that problem.
And she also
very
learned
easy.
One thing right there, too. She made a decision that
yeah.
she didn't have to do it, so therefore she decided to do what
yeah.
she wanted to do, which
yeah.
has nothing to do with being self-centered and being selfish. It's the idea of realizing that. I was telling this one guy, I said, the reason I don't like ancestry is because people are doing the same thing their ancestors did generation after generation, and now we're coming to a point where the reason they would call it being rebellious, we're not being rebellious. We're just seeing the truth. So we're going in a different direction, and then instead of following the pattern that they've given us, like people keep talking about, we have this hereditary disease in our life, in our family. I said, no, you don't. It's hereditary thinking as you keep passing down, because for some reason you felt so compelled to tell me. If you wouldn't have told me, would it really happened? Because we saw this Tuesday night, and I was sitting there talking about my mom, who says, you know, in our family we have this hereditary obesity. I said, no, we don't. We don't know how to eat. So we're fat, we have heart disease, and all these other things. It's not hereditary. It's your thinking that's what it is. And I said, so therefore it's actually been manifested, of course, in generations because they believe it. But also the ideal, the point, was the ideal of showing people, see what they believe in. You change your beliefs, change your direction, change your life. So therefore, you're going to be different than those people. So you're right about the one thing you were talking about before, where it's like you can't go by that anymore of where they're coming from, because we're looking for something totally different. So therefore, we can't base it on that, because it's going to confuse us to say, okay, how come this is like this? Because you asked for something different. That's the key, my friend. Did we lose somebody?
No.
Oh, there you are. No. Oh, Senator Cole. I saw the lights go out. No, I was looking at what it was is somebody else was on hold above her, but that was the first caller. She said put her back on hold so she could listen. I guess she must have, or else it switched around again, and it just caught me by surprise. I'm sorry. But I was just
I don't want to take up too much of the space here for somebody else to come in who might need your assistance.
That's true too, sweetie, but think about this. What we're talking about right now, I think people need to hear.
It's valuable.
Yeah, so that's okay. So you're not wasting anybody's time. And the ideal situation, we look at people, if they have a tendency to take an exit out of the queue, we don't know why, but we'll definitely keep talking to you. That's kind of funny. Anyway, it's just the ideal of the situation. People do a lot of things for a lot of reasons. But I've had people come to my shop and do that. They'll sit and go, well, I need to get out of here because I want to take a little more time and take business away from you. I said, but you are my business.
Well, I'm happy to talk all night, but I just don't want to take over the stage here. If you want me to get off, just say, we got to go, and I'll go, no problem. I'll leave.
Okay, no problem. I'm just saying, with the situation, it was a perfect thing about the thing that we're having a lot of trouble with right now is about relationships. But people don't realize one thing about relationships, okay? There's nothing different in the idea of manifestation, because when we manifest things, changes in our lives, changing the course, or just wanting to have a different life, it's all based on things that we really love that we love to see happen.
Here's a
okay,
perspective.
So therefore, if that's the case, relationships are simple.
I'll have a perspective on that. I think everybody has to have a relationship with themselves first and be honest there, and that's what I did. I said, I'm now taking a stand, and I'm going to do what's right for me. And having a relationship with myself allows me to empower myself, and by doing that, I let go of things in my way instead of always trying to make it better for the other person, which for me was making me more and more miserable. And once I did that, everything came to me. Everything. I put my house on the market and I sold it in a month. I just had yard sales and I said, I'm selling this. It was gone. I'm doing it was gone. It was done. And that's what it is. It's making your point, focusing on that, putting your intention there, and seeing it already manifested, just seeing it done. It's a done deal. Never having one iota of a doubt, never having one iota of a hesitation, and just saying, I'm selling my house. My house is selling. I'm selling it. Just like that. Bam. I'm moving. I'm going to get my studio. My studio is there for me. I'm going to walk right into it. Da-da-da-da-da. Like that. And then it happens. It's there because we're tuning into it.
Honey,
so the
I'm
relationship
so excited
factor,
to hear you say those things.
Say what?
I think that's magnificent. I'm ecstatic to hear you say those things because that's constantly how I coach people. Please, take on you. Take on your life. You have to know who you are before
right.
you can be in a relationship with anybody.
Right.
Because if you don't know who you are, what you're doing, where you're going, how the hell are you going to do anything with anybody else? You're going to get lost.
Well, relationships are not about taking from somebody. It's about bringing yourself into the partnership and being happy with yourself and so much in love with yourself that when you go there, you come with this joy because you're content with who you are, and now you can share yourself with another being. And this being will be your equal in so many ways because they'll be whole unto themselves. And I think that's where this whole new spirituality is taking many relationships. People are waking up and saying, you know what, this is not working for me anymore. I need to serve me now. And marriages are breaking down. Relationships are building up in a new fashion because this is what the new Aquarian age is all about, so people can get together and have joy on this planet and attract abundance in every facet of their life.
Yes.
Well, we said the situation first. Aquarius. What is it? I was like, I was telling a friend of mine about that whole thing. What is Aquarius? What is the
Aquarius?
What is the? Yeah, the one I was saying was
free thinking. Aquarius is humanity, it's group consciousness, it's ruled by the planet Uranus, and Uranus is all about unusuality, unorthodox, I mean being, you know, unorthodox, not following the norm, being different, beating your own heart to a, you know, your own drum, and taking freedom, being very free and very courageous and very spontaneous and very unique and very like one of a kind, and just being unattached. And in that unattachment, you get really strong in your will, you know, the will, the I am presence.
Well, I know,
just pours into you.
The reason I was saying that, because I was actually talking about palm readings, and people are looking at palm readings and going, okay, we got the
looking
head
at
line,
what?
And the heart line.
Poverty? Did you say poverty?
No. Palm readings. And the idea of reflecting people and showing them that there's a certain parts on your hand in which you can actually see your abilities, and you can also see how they affect your life. But it's always starting off with your heart, and then you have a connection with your head line, which is the ideal of in thought, which you actually take what your heart's desires, actually take those thoughts that go along with it, manifest them into reality, which affects your life in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things which that's why I was looking at Aquarius, because Aquarius is an air sign. And most people sit there and look at the idea of looking in their head. They don't realize it's, we're actually talking about taking thought and making it reality. But you can't really take just a thought by itself and bring it into reality or give it to the universe to create it as a manifestation unless you have feeling that goes with it. It actually says this. It says the conscious mind is the masculine and the subconscious mind is the feminine. The conscious mind impresses upon the subconscious mind what you feel is true. Within your life, what do you feel that the ideal things that serve you, what do you feel is the best way in your life, career, and all those things that go along with those whole things. But there has to be feeling that goes with it. And it's like, because the subconscious mind is like, yes, feeling, emotions, and that kind of stuff, and we got it all put together, and then you can actually have a great visualization, which is the idea of how life works. When a manifestation happens, you just don't see it. You actually feel it before you see it. And then it becomes your reality.
Manifested. But, becomes appears before you.
Yeah. Because we always ask the whole thing. We always ask the question, okay? What would it feel like if it happened right now? Not what it would look like. We always say, what would it feel like? What would it feel like right now if this thing happened right now? So feeling happens before vision. It was like exhausting. Anyway, but what I'm saying is it's the idea of trying to impress on people the idea how easy, because I've heard this before. It's really hard to make a decision to go to college. Well, maybe you're not supposed to go to college, and that's why it's so freaking hard, because you're forcing yourself to do something you really don't want to do. So therefore, you're also living according to what the universe tells you to do. I mean, no, hold up. Not the universe. The universe helps you. It's the world.
Right. The world.
Well,
your family,
and
your teachers.
When I say the world, I'm talking about. Yeah, because I was sitting here, we went over this little situation where I said, I have a little statement that I make where I said basically denounce money's not my support. It's basically God and the universe, and actually money is just another thing to manifest. And one part in there it says, I take my focus off the world and focus on nothing but spirit, which actually is the true source of manifestation, because it's the ideal of taking energy and bring it into form, which is kind of funny. Scientists have just now proven that when you focus on energy with your thoughts, it actually starts taking on the form of what you're thinking. But when you stop thinking and focusing on it, it goes back into a mass. So it's a proven fact. Whatever you focus on, whatever you think, whatever you impress on your subconscious mind as being truth, it will manifest into your life. Because we had this conversation. A lady was sitting there telling me, she goes, how come there's people out there who are ripping people off and being very successful about it? Because they feel like that's the truth of what they have to do, to the point where they've actually impressed upon their subconscious mind to justify their actions. So it basically creates that. But I guarantee it's going to come to a point where something's going to be interjected into their lives as the real truth, and you'll see those people come down.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's called karma.
Yes.
You can't
get
away with anything in this world if it's going to hurt somebody else. It always comes back to nip you in the bud or the butt.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always bite you in the butt. There's no freebie. It's not a free ride.
Every first time I heard that word, the bud, I thought someone was going to, their flowers are going to, one day they're going to wake up and their flowers are all going to be gone because their buds finally got it. But it's just one of those things probably from the back in the day where people just want to say but. But I'm just saying, it's just kind of funny how we have a tendency to come up with things to avoid even the truth on the smallest level. Have you seen that before? Do you want to talk about the ideal people avoiding things and the ideal truth?
You mean saying the right word? Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, I'm saying, wait, I was talking to a friend and he was avoiding the occurrence that was happening between him and his wife, and he kept hiding. He'd keep putting off procrastination, not changing, not doing the things she's been asking him to do for years, and now it's coming back on him, and he's having a real hard time with it. But he was putting it to the side, and I have to bring it to the surface and make him look at it. And he goes, this is really hard to look at. And I'm saying, all right, but it's going to make you a better person, and everything is happening on schedule to make you a better person, and everything's going to work out because you're in the perfect place, and you created this occurrence in your life because it was so much inside of you, you couldn't see it, so you had to put it out there in front of yourself with a person to reflect it for you.
Somebody in the chat room saying something stupid. It's Jimmy and Hope in My Heart, and it's Jimmy Russell, Rustler. I was looking at this statement where it says he likes girls with money, and then she says, what do you have to offer her? Which, basically, when you look at the situation, these are two people that are so stuck on themselves, they're not listening to a word that's being said, to the point where, why would she say that?
It's okay.
The idea, what do you have to offer? It doesn't matter, because it's the idea of the situation. The reason you don't focus on all these crazy things in the ideal, because I was there telling the lady about what is on your list, your desire list of what you want in a relationship. And it's kind of funny how you see some of these things where it's like, I want him to be. And it's like, no. You don't want nobody to be anything. It's basically almost like you're going to attract somebody into your life where you're going to be manipulating him to be something totally different. Which is you're setting yourself up. And it's the idea of trying to get really detailed about exactly what you want, need, and desire to the point where you don't, I guess it's like you said before, you have to have a relationship with yourself to realize that nobody owes you anything. No one's there to make you happy. They're there because you've chosen. You've chosen to share your life. Because I was sitting there telling this woman, I said, if you're sitting there focusing on taking and meeting somebody to fill an empty space in your life, then you're going about it the wrong way, and what you're going to get is nothing because you're focusing on an empty space.
Yeah.
That's why you're having a tough time finding anybody, because that person doesn't exist. An empty person and the person in the situation where you're saying, okay, I need to fill this space because I'm hurt and I'm doing this thing. We're shutting down the chat room for a minute. We're going to sit here and clear all this craziness out of there, okay? So therefore, forgive me, but I'm just tired of dealing with the chat room.
I'm not even looking at the computer. My eyes are closed. I'm listening. But you know what? The person who's looking outside, the person is, they're empty inside. They have to fill their own self with their own joy and their own giving and their own creativity. I mean, a lot of people right now, these are the doorways now that people can start paying attention to that little small voice that's telling them, well, why, wouldn't you like to go have a cooking class, or wouldn't you like to go learn some kind of new talent, or wouldn't you like to just go walk down to the park? You know, just those little things change the energy in a person's everyday activity.
Well, yeah, there's something about that too. You know, one thing people should realize too, no matter what age you are, wants, needs, and desires still exist until the day you decide to go on, and maybe even that even doesn't change either. It just changes on a different dimension. But I'm sitting here looking at a situation where you got a lady who's 73 years old and she's outside rolling in the snow and with this exhilaration thing because it's what she wanted to do. And then we have these people over here in the neighborhood going, she's nuts. And no, she's reflecting she's reflecting something back at you that you should go out and experience life more instead of looking through a window.
Right.
You know, you're stuck in the house and she's out there going, she don't care, and she's experiencing a lot of things. It's like, we had this conversation the other day. I was talking to some girl and she was like, I said,
That's
you know something?
Cute.
Somebody looked at you and said you're being childish because you went skinny dipping, when all you were doing was creating another experience that you're reflecting back at them that they need to do more of too as well. But they want to sit there and criticize you. But I guarantee you, from what they just saw you do, there's something within themselves was being a little jealous, but they didn't want to admit it to themselves, okay? So they sort of made a comment about you to try to belittle you to make themselves feel better.
But
that they're right,
Donnie,
and you're wrong. And
God consciousness. You're speaking from God consciousness, because God is just all thought, right? It's just God created thought first, and then he made manifest in matter. So because God created thought first and created the heaven and then he created the earth, we are all thought forms of God, and we are all down here dancing out the thought forms that God created in through each one of us. So God, presence, omnipotent,
prime
creator. Yeah, we are God in manifestation, but we are also the expression of the million possibilities of what God expression can be. That's why it's so fabulous that nobody should have any inhibitions, because we can be joyful and dance in every possibility to express God on the planet for others.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we're all performing.
Everybody should be having no wants and no desires. They should be experiencing them.
Yeah.
And they should
also. Yeah, because all the wants and the desires will arrive to share themselves with us.
Well, they should listen to the idea when it says in the Bible, right? When God said, that's the thing. God just said, let there be light, let there be the earth. And it's the idea of giving you a good example that words have power, they have energy. And it's proven fact that we have the Creator who's actually said things. That's all he did. It was like a power thought being spoken let's put it this way. You think the thought, and when you speak it, you direct the intention and the idea of watching it comes back to you. And also, I've read this the other day too, you can't really expect something to manifest unless you have the enthusiasm, the expectance that's coming back. That means you know for a fact it's going to happen. You've already seen it. So therefore you're like, okay, I have my arms wide, I'm excited, enthusiastic, and let me have it. And that's
I agree.
Pretty simple. But I was sitting here talking with the other day where we talked about some of the books have a tendency to start off and say, well, you know, when you start seeing auras or start working with chakra or doing healing, they have a tendency to use the one word. It can be difficult and it can be intense. And I think sometimes people have a tendency to take advantage of the spiritual thing too as well, where they're still doing the worldly thing. Let's put it that way. People who think they're spiritual, but they're still doing it the world way, when they're thinking about certain things and telling people, it's very difficult, so you need to come to me and I'll help you. Not realizing that's not your job. It's the idea of give of yourself, and they'll learn and they'll be able to help themselves because they already have the ability to do so in the first place. They should be a good example. And
they have to be the one to act it.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying. Not everybody is supposed to be a savior.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be saving anybody else.
One thing I like about during virtue says one thing. When you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. So therefore, what you do for yourself, that's why it's so important to love oneself. Because what you do for you, people are going to see that reflection, and you're going to you don't even have to say anything to people. They're going to see you and what you've actually accomplished with your own life, and the idea of listening to yourself, listen to your guidance, listen to the things you need to let go of, listen to the things that you needed to, you know, just all these things that are going on. And when you change those things, it's a healing within yourself, even if it's only your perception. And then everybody else goes, hey, if he can do it or she can do it, then I can do it. And you help somebody else without even trying.
Right.
You were just
your presence
just being
brings
you.
It. Yeah, your presence brings the enlightenment for others.
And that's the enthusiasm I love to do. It's like the idea I like to go to the shop, and that's why to change my visualization is the enthusiasm of working with people and watching them walk out of the shop with a smile on their face, knowing there was just something had changed. I don't even know exactly what happened at the moment, but it's the idea that the information was taken, and they're utilizing it, and they're going into a different direction, got a different perception, and they actually have their own enthusiasm, knowing for a fact that they're going to sit there and change their lives, and it makes them even feel even better because they just realized, I don't like this life, but I created it. So therefore, I can create and do it differently. Because I was centered, we talked about this before, how the ego can talk you into, you need to focus on those negative things and get rid of them when it's a trap. And then people go, what do you mean it's a trap? You don't need to focus on the freaking negative. That's what the ego is trying to get you to do. Or we could say whatever. But so, you know, the idea of focusing on the negative gives it power. But when you take that focus and direct it toward what you really want to do, it just neutralizes it because it has no power. And so you don't have to focus on it.
I get a lot of, like, messages, like little sayings that God gives me. And one of the words they told me one morning, they said, when people let go of the NOTSs in their life, in their conversation, in their vocalization, in their speech, speaking, then the KNOTSs in their life are going to also be gone. So get rid of the NOTSs in your conversation and the KNOTSs will leave. And then they gave me the CCC. The world is leaving the KKK and moving into the CCC. And the CCC stands for creativity, cooperation, and collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty empowering, wouldn't you say?
Let me think. Yes. It's one of those situations where you just got to go, wow, that's simple. Realistically, if you look at the situation, how the world was created, it was simply in a thought and being, and that thought being spoken and sent into a direction, which became a reality. You know, when you start to look at the thing, that was pretty simple. So why do we try to make things so complicated for? I'm trying to figure out where it started.
Only
right?
Because it was, well, have you ever heard of Andrew Bartzi? Have you heard of him yet? He's he is a galactic historian, and he's amazing, and he's going to be coming out with more and more information regarding the history of planet, of this galaxy and then all the other galaxies. And I don't have enough knowledge or remembrance of what he said, but I'll find some of the recordings and email them to you, and then you can listen to them on your own. And I think you'll just like, yes, 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 I understand. I understand. And he did all of these revocations about the controllers on the Earth, because this is a free will planet. And the only way it's going to change, you can't fix it. What is being birthed now are the healers and the teachers are coming out. And that's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I just got this book from Amazon. It's called 28 Days to Become More Magnetic. And it actually talks about the idea of focusing on your thoughts, you know, taking account of every thought that you do and think about, and the idea of sitting there looking at the situation, okay, and saying, I don't like thinking that way no more, and then actually saying, okay, which way do you want to think? How do you want to think? And then changing it just that way. And the idea, it shows that things on this planet change when you change your perception. So that could happen like in 2 seconds. Of things changing so freaking quickly. But it also talks about other things of focusing on releasement, letting go, also realizing that you don't have to control every aspect of your life. It's actually the opposite, that when you sit there and focus and say, oh, you're focusing on your bills and you're going over your head and you're tallying up and everything, don't you realize you're actually, that's where you are at. So therefore, you're actually, this is a block. But it's also taking you away from your life, and you're not really living your life at that moment. You're actually sitting there focusing on lack of limitations because you're thinking, I got to spend this here. If I spend this here, I can't spend this over here. So you're not really feeding into unlimited potential of realizing that if you just let those bills go, there will probably be a solution. There's already been a solution there right in front of you. But with the idea of focusing on what you think is the solution, you're not actually allowing the solution come in because you're not really letting go of the situation. You're not letting go of yourself. And you're not looking
at
the
power to control the direction. You're trying to control the direction and which step happens first. But spirit, my friends, they keep asking me, so when are you traveling again? And I said, you know what? Spirit has my schedule. So if you really want to know, ask Spirit, and then you can tell me, because I don't know until Spirit tells me. So everything in our life is really God's will. And if we're just in the now and we pay attention to that little voice and it tells you, go do this, and then you do it, the next thing comes up, and then you handle it. And then the next thing comes up, and you handle it. And there's always room to do everything you want in your life, plus. And every responsibility that you have, it gets done and gets paid attention to and gets completed and gets finished. As well as, you have to also remember, you can't keep the same clothes in the closet or in the cupboards or in your drawers of things that are still historical. You got to get rid of them all because they don't live in the now. They're part of the history. They're part of your story, her story, his story, whatever. So we're not supposed to keep carrying these bags of the past. We have to get rid of the bags of the past so that the present can be flourishing and the future has room to come in.
Yeah, I actually told a lady that one time because I was like trying to get through to her and saying, you don't realize that you got to let go of the relationship completely and you got to be able to favor this new one. That means the positive and the positive things and the good and the bad things that happen, because it still attaches you to that time. It's because you keep reminiscing in your head of how you wish things would have been, even how things were, that have nothing to do with the relationship that's coming in, because you just asked, I want something totally different and very successful and actually something long-term. So since that wasn't, we know that for a fact because you're not together anymore, but it's the idea. It's amazing how people want to hang on to all this stuff. And I've actually been criticized because I don't have stuff around me. I don't have old letters from girlfriends and that kind of stuff. But it's like our society is taking pictures of everything. I just saw a lady had a big old pad, and she was in there taking pictures of this and that and the other. I'm like, I think sometimes in the ideal, it's okay to take pictures, but some of the people I've been seeing, it's like, it's another manipulation of creating life and say, okay, look at this picture. I want you to act this way. I want you to smile. I want you to move this way. And we're all photographers, and our families are now our models, and we're telling them how to do everything and that kind of stuff, when we're actually missing out on the experiences, the true experiences. And true experiences is when you just go out, be spontaneous, and just do what you got to do. I remember I used to hitchhike all the time, and it was just one of those things that people were sitting there going, that's kind of dangerous and crazy, isn't it? No. I go out to the road and I say, okay, God, where are we heading today? And I said, I used to get rides from people all kinds of people. I remember one time I got picked up by an RV. I got picked up by a Camaro, a brand new one. And all these things, and people just like, oh, no. I used to get picked up by a guy whose front tire is about ready to fall off. I said, yeah, but see, it's one of those things. I have my manifestations are different because my intentions are different. I'm looking for that great, fantastic ride. You are just putting yourself in a victim mode. I was just hoping I get a ride. And I've been in situations where I didn't get into rides. Never go hitchhiking through freaking Nashville. You'll walk clear through town. And you walk through the highway. And the highway, it's kind of funny, too. I was like, everybody must walk. And then as I'm walking up the highway, no one will pick me up. I actually found this sidewalk that had been there one time with grass over it. I'm sitting there going, there you go. There's a physical manifestation. It actually proves to me everybody walks through town, so I'm not the only one, so don't be a victim. But it was also the thing, I walked completely through, like on, I think it was on 270 or 70, I walked from one side of Nashville to the other. But see, the point is, I did it, and I found a solution, which was just the idea of keep going. And as I was keep going, it's amazing when people don't understand, a lot of times driving and finding these fast ways to get there.
You have an experience, Donnie. Well, everybody has.
I'm just saying with the experiences that people are missing because they just want to get from point A to point B. They're missing everything in between.
Yeah, well, that's where they're at. That's their choices.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's really late where I live, so I think I'm going to go to sleep now.
Where do you live? I don't want your address. I'm just saying.
Florida, South Florida.
Oh, you live in Florida too, 305.
Mhm. Yeah, it's going on 1 o'clock here.
I'm sorry,
but
I can hear.
I'm going to in the morning. I'll go to your website and email you that stuff about Andrew because I know you're gonna love it.
Okay.
It's on
cool.
your wavelength.
Thank you.
And it's also has a connection to your soul and your spiritual awareness.
Okay, sounds good. Always looking for any kind of insights, more and more and more.
Yeah. It'll help you in all your readings for the people.
That's cool.
All right,
well,
so
make yourself a stronger.
Bon adventure for the rest of the evening, and enjoy tomorrow.
Well, enjoy your dreamland.
Thank you. I've been having amazing dreams every night. I'm actually logging them, which is really crazy, but it's kind
mm-hmm.
of exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
he talks
it.
About dream time. That's what he says. He talks about dream time. He's really into dream time.
Hmm.
You're going to love this guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't want to continue talking because we could go on another 3 hours. So, good night.
Good night.
I don't know her name. What's her name? But good night if she's still
Heather,
there.
Good night.
Good night, Heather. Okay, good night.
Thank you. And you have a good one. Bye-bye. Don't you hate this thing when it just goes sleepy town? All right, let's go to our next caller, which is actually area code 786. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
My
What's
name
your
is
name? Where are you from?
James. I'm from Florida, too.
Wow, everybody calling from Florida tonight, huh?
Yeah.
About all those crazy manipulating neighbors you got down there, right?
I love it. Yeah.
Well, I used to live in Florida too. It seemed like everybody was always wanting what I had, and it was kind of freaky. Because I was laughing about the whole thing. I was like, this one guy wanted my ex-wife at the time, and I'm sitting there going, if I would have only knew what I know now, he could have had her. But
right.
But he'd come over and go, let's go take a boat ride. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to her. I just had to go along because he didn't want to get shot, you know? Anyway. So, James, have you caught before?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay. I don't know. I've been kind of freaked out lately because I've had some people call in here. And we had one guy a couple of weeks ago was talking about a situation. He was from the UK, I think, or Australia. I can't remember which. About wanting to have sex with his mom. And I was just like...
Oh, no. Oh,
I was just
boy.
Like, it seems sincere. And I've heard about these infatuations. And it is one of those things that there are certain infatuations and that kind of stuff. But it's the ones who actually have a tendency to focus on the physical aspect of the whole thing, not realizing that, like, women who have a tendency to look for images of their father, which is strength and certain things like that, or how they were taught.
Right.
Sometimes men have a tendency to do the same thing with their mothers. They just don't understand it. So they have a tendency to go. But when he started talking about the idea that they already consummated their relationship, I was pretty much about done with it.
Oh, boy.
So it's one of those things where you're going, okay, what is he telling us?
Right.
He really wants help. I understand. I understand he wants help and he wants to do certain things. But I just felt like it was more of attention than anything else.
Right. Wow.
I think you could
tell
different ways of attention, right? So, James, let's go to your situation. I'm hoping it's a more simpler.
Well, you know, I know you're really good with past lives. I've been told that I was attacked in a past life. I could recall a lot of my past lives. I used to get them a lot during dream time. And just certain impressions that I picked up, intuitive impressions that I picked up about.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told that I was attacked in a past life. And I'm trying my best to kind of connect with it, but, you know, I don't seem to be able to connect with it. I do know it resonates in the sense of, you know, I do,
mm-hmm.
I am afraid a lot of asserting myself because sometimes I feel like, well, all the time I feel like if I assert myself, you know, there's going to be some sort of opposition.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at my astrology chart, I actually have a placement. I think it's my Saturn is square my ascendant, which talks about the same thing, you know, being afraid of asserting myself because I fear that there's going to be some sort of opposition. So, you know, me being an Aries, I've never really been into competition or anything like that. Kind of took a philosophical approach to it, but I'm kind of thinking now maybe it has something to do with that, you know, being attacked or something like that. So I'm just wondering if you can connect with it or if you pick up anything about that and how I can resolve it.
Well, the situation I keep picking up could be hardest to resolve because the thing I see the most of that whole situation is the person that came to me was, there's many instances of being attacked, at least three. And usually when you have past lives when there's certain situations of having that kind of thing, it's kind of hard to put a point on it because there's three of them. So your mind is focusing on it happened once, so you're focusing on that once, not realizing you're probably getting a mixture of all three of those, which can confuse you.
That makes sense.
So it's the idea of focusing on it. I'm saying what you do when you dream, what you do before you go to bed is just focus and say, okay, I know I've been attacked at least three times, but could you give me, you know, insights on just one? And do that through, you know, like pick three nights where you want to do that on three different situations. And then write those, document those and that kind of stuff, and then compare them. And then you can actually get an idea from most of the time when you get details and stuff, you can pretty much pinpoint them to the lifetime or the time period. And then once you pinpoint the timing and the time error, then you can usually actually pick up other memories and it'll help you with each one of the situations.
That's true. That makes
sense. That makes sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure does. Yep. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of do feel like it was probably more than one time. I really do. Because I don't know how to explain it. It just feels like on the inside that I had this rocky period of incarnations of just really doing, you know, like the last caller said, being that Uranian energy, just completely being outside of the box and being punished for it. And that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, because simply, when people say abnormal, they think, oh, abnormal, some kind of wacky stuff. It's just going against the norm of what you've been taught.
Right.
And what people, it's like your parents will sit there and say, you know something, you're supposed to marry just one person. What you need to do is see how that resonates with you. I believe that too. I'm just saying, use an example of some people sit there and look at the situation of why would people in the past actually marry more than just one person, which seems like crazy enough because I've actually had one marriage and wow, I could imagine being married to four people at the same time. But when you sit there and look at the situation, there's other things too. It's the ideal. I was sitting here talking about certain things how to become the norm, which is the ideal now. People think it's normal to live together before you want to go get married. I'm sitting here going,
right.
Why do you think that's normal? Because actually it says, basically, the way it reads out, that it says people who live together actually have a higher rate of divorce than people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, realistically, you think you have to live together because you think you need to trial run to see if it's going to work instead of actually trusting what you feel between the two of you, which will always tell you what you need to know anyway, and you're not listening to yourself. Like prenups. Prenups are not good because a person's going right into the situation with mistrust.
Right. Right.
So it doesn't work. People think, we got to do this to protect myself. But see, why do you think you have to protect yourself? So from somebody you attracted into your life, somebody you manifested, who is just like you. So realistically, the thing here is, you don't. It's not you don't trust her or him. You don't trust yourself.
You don't trust yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Until you trust yourself, you're never going to be able to be in any situation where you're not going to sit there and look for something as a wrench to throw into the mess and go, see, I knew there was something wrong with this person. Really, who are you talking to? Are you talking to the person across this room or are you talking to yourself?
That's right.
The things you have to take into consideration. Yeah.
True. That's so funny. I just talked about marriage with my girlfriend today. We just talked about that. We were watching it on TV, and I told her, I used to be real gung-ho about it. I want to get married. And I know that, you know, it was just my own insecurities and a whole bunch of Now I just kind of want to enjoy myself. You know what I mean? I just want to slow down and enjoy,
well, that's true.
Enjoy myself.
People when you get, my thing is the idea of helping people realize that the idea of enjoying yourself you can continue to do. It's just the idea of attracting someone to share it with. Nothing really changes. I mean, sure, you got to give it a single life, and there are certain things that you got to work together with, but you still got to still be who you are. You never give up who you are. You never compromise yourself in the idea of making something work. If you're sitting there and you're giving up little bits and pieces of yourself to make a relationship work, then there is no relationship with yourself that would make you think that you have to give up who you are to make it work. It's got to be traced back to some kind of fear that you're scared to death you're going to want it by yourself, so you got to do those things. It's like one of those things where the easiest way to figure out if you're feeding into fear is to realize if you say, I got to do it, you're making a decision in fear.
That is very true.
When you sit there and go, this is what I really want to do, that's a positive thing. You've heard people say that before, haven't you? I have to work 40 hours a week, make this amount of money to pay these bills, or we're not going to make it. And I'm saying, why would you put that on the end of it? Because you're basically saying you're not going to make it. And it kind of sets a tone for your life, because you've seen people who keep saying, I got to have a real job to have security in my life and to actually have success. And if you look at their lives, it's a contradiction, because it doesn't ring true. Here these people are working themselves to death, and they're still not making it. They're not getting ahead. They're not doing anything. It's actually been proven. If you work for another person, all you're doing is fulfilling their dream.
Right.
So when are you going to start doing it for yourself? And plus, if you look at it this way, if you're working for a person who owns his own company, more likely what it's saying to you is you need to create something of your own.
Right. That is very true. That is very true. I love it, man. Thank you very much. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, man.
No problem, man. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
I would sit here and say hello to Heather, but for some reason we lost her. She was out there doing the remote and walking around. Maybe her battery died or something. I'm not sure, but I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But
man,
that's a person doing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you. And
thanks.
Look forward to hearing you again. And if you ever want to sit down and do a private reading, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Will. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye now. All right, let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 901. Hello, how are you? And what's your name?
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear
it? I can hear you. I just want to, can you just give me a simple reading, a general reading?
Do you have anything that's particularly on your mind?
Well, I'm dealing with some issues today. Well, not just today, but I've been dealing with for a while now. It's really regarding my job.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at the situation, for some reason, there just seems to be a. I'm just sitting there focusing and going over the thing in my head, where it just seems like there's a lot of discontent with your job. And I got that. I was looking at. I just decided to pull a card for you, and it just kept on saying. The focusing on long-term plans and the idea of focusing what you really want to do with your life, it shows a lot of abundance. And it actually shows that there are opportunities coming to you where things are starting to look, are going to start looking good for you as you go into probably about September. But it's one of those things of focusing on clearing your mind so you can actually see these things for what they are, because you can pick up on a lot of worry and a lot of stress. Sometimes I wish I could actually emphasize the idea of stress is a human concept. it's also self-inflicted because we have a tendency to put ourselves in a situation of worry when we should be looking at these situations for what they are and say, why am I worrying about these situations? Why are they so complicated? Why are things not working the way I want them to? When it could be just simply saying, you chose the wrong direction. Now you're getting signs that when you actually make a choice in the right direction or a positive direction, things have a tendency to fall into place. Even if you do have difficulties, the solutions happen very quickly. Because I saw that what Carter talks about, it was actually a Wands card where it talks about building, talking about abundance. But usually when it focuses on Wands, if you've ever seen a Wands, like a two of Wands or a three of Wands, it's always the person who's focusing on what they've created, not what they've actually contributed to someone else's dream. So when you sit here and look at the situation, it's like making choices about the job is the biggest thing that could turn everything around.
Yeah.
Am I in the right place? Should I be somewhere else?
Should I wonder?
Is this the ideal? It's like asking yourself questions. Is this where I should be at, or should I be somewhere else? And then just realistically listen to your intuition. What does it tell you? You might be surprised when it says, run. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I work for the carnival, and it seemed like the last year I worked for the carnival, nothing seemed to work. And it was just an indication that I was avoiding what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And once I embraced that, things got better very quickly. It was just the ideal of opening my mind up and saying, okay, what am I really passionate about? What would I love to do? And I found I was already doing it. But just, you know, riding the fence. I was doing it, but I felt like I had a job or something like that, but I was actually living according to my mom's expectations on how that goes instead of my own, which her expectations wasn't working because it worked for her, but that was her life, not mine. She used to get my mad. She used to drive me crazy. You don't listen to me. You don't take my advice. Oh, I listen. And I'm pretty sure it contributes to something, but I still made the choice what I had to do, what I felt like resonated with me. Just like she did. That's what I learned from her.
Mm-hmm.
How was her life successful as much as it was? Because she was doing it the way she wanted to do it. But she couldn't get that through her head that she was trying to impose that on me because she was successful.
Yeah.
She always was. But that's the thing. She didn't realize. I did learn. I just didn't do a little, you know, I didn't do it the way you did it, but I got the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the same thing with you. It's like look at the situation and go, okay. People will sit there and say, I'm not listening to my family. But ask yourself one question. Are you living your life according to what you want, what you need, and what you desire? Are you going according to what the world tells you? Okay, like the term I used to get all the time. If you need to get a real job. What is a real job? A real job is something that they want me to work. They want me to go to work every day. They want me to work with people I don't like. They want me to be miserable. They want me to complain all the time. And they want me to be in a situation where I'm not happy because they're not happy. That's a real job. Okay? But then you take it from one step from that and say, okay, so what am I looking for? You're looking for a career. You're looking for a direction that works for you. And when things are in your life and your job and your situations where it just gives you negative drama, it's not working. And that's a sign that says there has to be an easier way, a different direction. It's just you have to sit there. Because that's the thing. Most people get caught up in the situation and make these choices and put themselves on these paths, and then they have all these freaking bills. And then they start focusing, and then they use the bills to justify keeping the job. They keep the job to justify why they have bills, and it's a complete crazy wild circle. What I mean by that is, it's like they'll sit there and say, "Well, I can't quit this job because I got to pay these bills off." Not realizing that maybe if you go into a different direction and actually acquire a career, you might actually also acquire certain things that actually neutralizes those bills. It's like, for example, I was sitting there looking at an apartment. I was living in an apartment. The guy upstairs, for some reason, wanted to play fetch with his freaking dog at 2:00 in the morning. And I used to work on the internet quite a bit at the same time. And it started to get to a point where it was a problem. Now, most people would sit there and say, just meditate and it'll go away. That's true, too. But at the same time, there was something prompting me to say, I need to make a different. I need to make a move. I need to be in a different environment. So therefore, focusing is a whole lot easier, and I can actually focus, maybe even see my goals for what they really are. Okay, now most people would sit there and say, well, you had a year lease, and you only been there for 6 months, so you have to stay there. I said, no. We have to sit there and think about what's best for us. What is good for our corporation? What, you know, this is interfering with our business. This is interference with my life. So therefore, there's certain things that are not happening. I'm not happy. So it's the idea of looking at the situation going, okay, we need to clear the clutter and start getting rid of the things that don't no longer contribute to my happiness, which that living in that area wasn't working for me anymore. So therefore, and this is another thing too, the signs will be very clear for you that when you make a positive change to go into a positive direction, you also see things change very quickly. Now what I did was I decided to move anyway. My friend walked up to me one day and she goes, as soon as you move into this apartment, we can sit down and start writing this book. She didn't say if. She just flat out looked at me in the face and said, when? So I sit there and for some reason something came out of me going, I said, No, I'm not gonna say anything negative. I'm gonna just go listen to her. Maybe it's the angels, God. My guy is talking through her to get me to see something that I have to make this move instead of feeding into it in a worldly way. The world says you have a lease and you have to honor that lease. Realistically, if you look at the situation of the craziness that's going upstairs, I actually wrote a letter to the landlord saying he needed to get this guy out of there. Then I found out later on this guy wasn't even paying any rent. Okay? So if you look at the situation, we look at this thing in a balanced way. We look at it from both sides and realize one thing. The lease is not being honored, so why should I honor it? So therefore, it's time for me to move. And it was kind of amazing, too, because as soon as I made the choice to move, I went up here and filled an application for this apartment. I was approved in 3 days. I've never been approved in 3 days. Boom. Okay? So that was a positive. The first positive thing I saw was that I knew I was going in the right direction. It also put me about a half a block from my shop, so I no longer had to get on the bus and go back and forth, which was becoming a hassle. And sometimes I would just walk. But I've seen that path too many times, so it was time for different scenery anyway, so I could actually be where I wanted to be at, so I could actually go do some things I wanted to do instead of doing things I had to do. I had to walk to the shop. So it was kind of amazing when you start changing all these things. Even the idea of going to the shop was more of a pleasurable, hey, let's go. I can set my schedule in a different way and that kind of stuff. And everything just started changing very positively, okay? Even to the point where my attitude started changing and say, you know something? I'm not going back. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to start keep looking for solutions to keep myself in a situation where I'm self-employed. You know, I have my apartment. And I'm never behind on anything. Because a lot of people think that's kind of, well, it's impossible in this day and age. See, that's the thing is, that's a definite notion that somebody's feeding into the world. The world is, I mean, if you really look at the world, it's almost like it's designed for you to fail. Okay? That's why I always stress for people to think about what you're doing and the idea of working a job. Is it really part of your career? Is it something you want to do? Or is it something you think you have to do? Because if you think you have to do, that's a definite positive sign to you that you're making the wrong decision because you're making a decision in fear. Every time you make a decision in fear, you're going into illusion. It always has a bad outcome. Okay? But when you start focusing on things, okay, this is what I want to do. I would like to create a business. And people have a tendency to do this, too. They'll go, okay, I want to start a business. I need money. No, you don't. You need a vision. You need to make a definite decision. This is what you want to do. And then put it out to the universe. And don't be surprised what happens because I remember when I got my shop, I didn't have the money for it. But all I kept on doing was I kept on going forward. The sucker came up for rent. Because at first I was told I can't even have it because the city didn't recognize it as a retail space. And then one day I come up here out of the blue, and there was a big for rent sign on it, okay? So what I did was I didn't care if I had the money or didn't have the money. That was a sign to go in that direction, so I decided to go in that direction. And what was funny about it, the whole thing was it was an impossibility. It became a reality, my reality. And I remember when I sat there and saw it the first time when they said you couldn't have it, I said, no, that's my shop. I want that. I walked off with just that strong intention that was my shop. And then about 6 months later, it became my shop. I remember talking to the lady. She says, I want the money before I go back to Texas because we live in Colorado. And I said, no problem. I never said no. I always said yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the money, all of a sudden there was a couple of situations that came up where I still didn't have the money, but there was something inside me because I'm saying, she keeps saying she wants the money before she goes back to Texas, but I had a funny feeling that it would come down to the point where she would just look at me and say, do you want this? And it did. It was kind of funny. It was like on a Friday. She called me. She goes, okay, do you have the money for the rent? I'm leaving today to go to Texas. I said, no, but I'll be here tomorrow. Yes, I really. And she goes, well, do you want this shop or not? I said, yes, I do. She said, okay, no problem. Here's my address. Send me the money. See, it was one of those things. If we start, when we feed into things, you know, like feed into our fears, that might not have happened. I might have said, go, okay, I don't have the money. I might have walked away from the situation because of the fear. But all I kept on doing was I was listening to my angels and guys, and they're saying, no, keep going, keep going, keep going, and this is going to be yours.
Right.
And sure enough, the money came the next day after Charity left, and I took him. Actually, I was able to. It was kind of funny. She goes, everybody kept saying, the winter months are slow here. And actually, during the winter months, I was actually able to actually earn a lot of money where I actually paid my rent on my shop almost 6 months ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be surprised in the ideal. That's what happens when you put yourself in a real positive situation of what you really want to do. You'll be surprised that there'll be a lot of opportunities that come to you that you can actually pay your rent 6 months ahead.
Okay.
It's just the ideal, your intentions, and say, okay, I also, you got to sit there and say to yourself, I deserve it. And
yeah.
I also believe in myself.
Yeah.
Because you're at a point right now where it's just frustration.
Yeah, it is very frustrating right now, but I don't know. I feel unlike the way I was feeling some months ago. I was terrified about what actually happened to me on my job, but it's almost like there's been a great turnaround for me a little. I still get those intense and, you know, those negative and sad feelings now because I'm not well, but I have been feeling very depressed and sad, but at the same time, there is joy in my heart, like there will be a transition coming to me, and I feel like it's going to be good for me, but I just wanted to see, I really would like to know if I will receive any of my money back from my job, because I had not actually been paid from them. You do the tarot?
I already picked messages up already. It's just the idea of sometimes I use the tarot just to get a second opinion, that's all. And the first thing that came to me was yes.
Okay.
You'll get some money back. It's almost like one of those things I keep picking up as the idea of don't expect to get back as much as you want. But it's the idea of opening up and appreciating what you do get back, and the ideal, you will get some money back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, it's like you get the money. I'm just saying, for some reason, it doesn't seem like you're going to get the whole amount. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing how companies don't realize. I think a lot of companies go out of business because of all these transactions, all the things they do to other people, have a chance to come back and no more. I've actually seen a couple of psychic companies where you think they're making all those millions of dollars and they're not going to go anywhere. And now they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
So,
this is the case now. So I'm just saying, I don't suggest
for people to go out there and manifest the ideal destruction of businesses, because that can actually bring bad karma on you. But it's just the way you have a tendency to structure the request, where you can sit there and say that you want them to get what they deserve. At the same time, I want to get what I deserve. And you'll see some positive results out of that one.
Okay.
Because these companies these days just don't have any idea what the hell they're even doing. The idea, they just want to keep taking.
I think they understand what they're doing. I just think that they don't care how it affects or impacts.
That's true. What I'm saying is, I remember the ketchup, Heinz ketchup? Well, actually, when Heinz was the richest, the guy who created that business back in the turn of the century was one of the richest men at that time. He actually made more money than most of the rich people today. And what he did was he had workout facilities. This is kind of funny, back in the 20s. The teens and 20s. He actually had working facilities. I can't say it now. He had these places where people could work out when they work. He felt like if a person was happy and content, he was a better worker. So he did everything he could to make those people really content when they worked. He also came out with some great products on simple things. And it was kind of funny that he actually came out, the very first thing I think he came out with was the idea of Heinz pickles, which might sound crazy because we don't really see that anymore. But it was one of those things about the whole thing. Right. But he also had a situation where he came up with a thought, he came up with an ideal, and put the situation without hardly anything, and basically created a vast business, million-dollar business. But he was also very content about how he got there because of where he came from and realized the people working for him are pretty much in the same situations where he always created everything. He was actually the very first person that when he had women working for him, they made the same amount as men.
Oh, okay. So, that's good history.
So it did happen in history. It was just far and few between. But I'm still baffled by the whole moment, too, why women don't make as much as men. But especially doing the same job. But it's amazing that when you see history and all the things that have happened back in the 1800s, it was actually curling irons that you actually put in the fire, heated them up, and curled your hair with. Same concept. It was just the idea of realizing a lot of things that just everything existed. It's just depending on how it exists on a level. That when you look at those situations and what they've been created, it just gives you ideas in your own head that, you know, what can you do? If you're a person that likes to work for other people, that's great. It's just the idea of going into those situations with the intent. That's good for you, not good for them. That's the difference, I think it is, because a lot of people go into the job saying, I got to do this. And if a boss comes in and says, you got to do this, you do it, not realizing in the process of making a decision to go into that situation. You just, as we call it, you gave your power away. You gave your power away. So this is the idea of looking at the situation. Once you start doing that, that's why you feel so powerless in your life, your bills, your family, that kind of stuff. So that's why I think it's one of those things we're trying to stress to people. You know, you're sort of saying, I'm working for my family. I've heard people say this. I'm working for my family. Are you really? No, you're not. You're actually working for the fear. Because the fear keeps you going, and the ideal thinking you have to do these things. Now, you can justify by saying you're doing it for your family, but actually, if you sit out there and actually pursue a career and actually do what you're passionate about, what you love, what you actually see yourself doing, you'd probably benefit your family a whole lot more and a whole lot quicker, and probably even be able to spend time with them. A lot of people these days don't. I mean, think about it. Most of their time, their kids are either a daycare, babysitter, or with one or the other parent. So where's the family part? What are we working for? That's the thing. What are we working for in this country anymore? What are we working for? That's the thing we need to take a look at, or what we're doing. Because, seriously, they had this thing in D.C. where they was actually doing a survey where they have these agencies that actually help you pick out daycare centers and babysitters, and they were failing. Kids were still being put in harm's way, which I don't look at. It's not the ideal. Daycare centers are good. Babysitters are good. It's the ideal that people are not taking consideration of what's good for them. They're putting that in someone else's hands. I want to be a good parent, but I need you, daycare center, to take up the slack of where I can't be there, not realizing maybe what it's telling you is this career you've chosen, is it really something you really wanted to do that actually benefits your life and your family? Or is it something that just benefits you in a self-greedy way? Because it's not working. I'm sorry.
That's too much? No, it's good. I understand. It's very good.
It's like one of those things you tell someone, I don't mean to get that intense, but I am that intense. It's just one of those things you get really passionate. You just get passionate about the information that you do get, you know, and that you just want to sit there and look at people going, I just know that from beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you pick a career and take a different direction, your life's going to be so great. If I could just take that and put it on a videotape and send it to you, I think it'd be more effective than me sitter. So I always try to find ways, since I can't do that, I always try to find ways to passionately to give it to you so you can actually go, hey, what can you do? Well, it's one of those things of taking people and say, okay, if you're a person who doesn't want to jump into something else, you can do like, I give a little bit, okay, I give little examples. Like I do a radio show. announce to people to watch this internet radio show. Yeah, but see, the point is, the visual and the manifestation I wanted to create was doing a radio show. It doesn't matter the format. I am doing a radio show. And I reach a lot of people, and that's what I wanted to do. So what I did was, I'm sort of going, okay, you want to get specific about it? Thank you very much. Now I have a different visualization I want to manifest now. And that's to have a spiritual talk show on the radio, on a radio show, a weekly radio show on the radio. So it's like when we listen to people, realistically, they can irritate us sometimes, but sometimes they're giving us insights. And we listen to those things and we find the solutions. And it's just your angels and guides going, there's many avenues, as much as there's many avenues to attract other things. It's like I have an affirmation where it says, money comes to me every day and in every way. So it's like opening the doors to realize your job is not the only way money comes into your life. And when I've actually done that affirmation a couple of times where I've actually seen some really miracles where, what was it? I was working for the carnival one year. That was actually my last year, I think. And I was sitting there counting out some money to get a muscle milk. But see, the one thing I always stress to people, I'd gotten paid the day before, had no money. And they're going, really? I said, yeah, I paid all my freaking bills. So I was happy. I was just trying to get enough change to go over and get some. I had everything taken care of. I just wanted to get a muscle milk. I was just, you know. So I said, okay, I'm going to count my change out. So I'm sitting there counting my change. My boss walked by with his friend. And I was sitting there going, hey, what's up? He goes, you spent all your money already? I said, yeah, but all my bills are paid. He goes, oh, okay, that's good. And he says, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just counting some money. I have to go across the store to get a muscle milk and some other things, and I'm just counting out the change. He goes, really? So he looks at his friend. He goes, I own this company, right? So I can do what I want. He goes, yep, it's your company, Jay. Do whatever you want to do. He goes, okay, I am. So he gets in his pocket, hands me a $20 bill, says, you don't owe me anything. It's a gift. You're doing a great job. And he walks off. So I said, I'm thinking back that day. I'm going, yeah, so what was I thinking? What happened? I'm trying to figure out how I created that, and then I want to recreate it again. So I go back over it again. I was like, oh, I know what I said this morning. I said, money comes to me easily and frequently.
Yeah.
And then, and that actually was not just one incident. He had done that a couple of times where he would just, I'd be running a ride. He would just walk up to me one day. I remember this one we were down near, way down Portsmouth or somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was. But he just walks in as I'm running this ride. And he goes, you're doing a great job. He hands me $20 bill and he left. Wow. Instead of sitting there trying to figure out if I can actually buy a muscle milk, now I'm thinking my head's going to spin now, going, now I can get this. It just expanded the thing very quickly. So you can see that's one of the things I tell people. You see how it was. I was thinking I would like to get a drink, and now I can go get a meal. I can go get a meal. So, you know, it happened in 2 seconds, and it's that's what I'm saying with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I want to do it again.
I'm going to ask you another thing while it's on my mind because I'm struggling right now. But I don't know how to explain. I don't want to say it really over the air. But so my job, will I get another job? Cause, the got me seeking for another job as well. And I don't know. I'm kind of puzzling myself over the situation because I'm not sure if I'll be able to handle it. And that's for so many reasons why I say that is because of what I've been going through. And I don't want to really get too detailed, but yes, I want to work. I want a job. But they have caused me so much agony for no reason. And I know there's a reason for everything, and it could be, and well, I know it's because it is time for me to leave, you know. But, you know, what they've done to me, though, is what is the hurting part about it. So I just want to know, with them telling me I need to find another job within a certain length of time, do you think I don't believe they mean it, but do you think I'll find another job within that particular company?
Yes, I do.
You do?
It's one of those situations.
Well, when you say that means that they probably already have one for me then. Okay.
Well, it's one of those things you said before, and the idea was how to leave.
You said what now?
I said, it's like you said before, it's time for you to leave. So some of the idea of trying to figure out what they're not going to do, what they're going to do. It's
mm-hmm.
just the idea of looking at them as an example of what they're doing is, it could be right or wrong, but what they're doing is they're making the best decisions, what's good for their corporation.
Well, of course.
And you need to do the
course.
Same.
Of
well, I'm just saying, you need to do
yeah.
the same.
I am. I actually am.
Yeah, that's who you are. So, you know, I've considered, I've actually done a couple of job interviews where I walk in the guy, and he interviews me for a job, and then he looks at me and says, we don't have any openings. I said, you know something? That is the most meanest thing you get to say. And they go, why is that? Because we don't have any openings? No, to waste my freaking time when you knew when you went into this interview you had no openings. I said, I'm not here to make you feel good about your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have
yeah.
a job. You're going to do something, okay? Go do something else. You know, organize the freaking
yeah.
schedule. There's people you already got. But I could be somewhere else right now getting a job.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, I'm just saying, that's what I decided right then and there. When I went into a situation, I started listening to my intuition.
Yeah.
What is good for me? And
yeah.
I started finding out the reason I had a lot of jobs because I just wasn't made for a job. I wasn't made to work for other people. I can't stand to work for other people.
Mm.
I can't stand to be told what to do. But at the same time, it was just a realization that I was actually, the reason I didn't like following people because of some of the things I had actually done before and leading people, not because I wanted to be in control, but actually helping people to realize their own potentials in jobs
yeah.
and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you're actually very good at it, too. So, and you give explicit, the way you explain things is very explicit and concise. So we are able to, you know, consume what you're saying. And I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Well, I feel like if I don't get it, I'm just saying, if I don't sit there and take the time to actually get detailed and descriptive with you, I want to make sure that when you or we're done talking, that when you walk out of this situation, that you can utilize
mm-hmm.
the information because you've understood it.
Yeah, I
understand. A lot of people just go, I got the answers, here it is. You figure it out. I don't like
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I understand what I understand both ways, but because I've had some
mm-hmm.
issues and I'm still dealing with those issues now, you know. So tonight I'm just kind of feeling a little not so ease right now, and just because I'm kind of frustrated about what I'm sitting here writing about. I'm writing something and I don't want to deal
mm-hmm.
with the situation because it just really gets to me.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you sit there and act, you know, if you feel like you want to, just call me because you said you're talking about the ideal. There's certain things you don't
mm-hmm.
like to talk about while we're on the air and that kind of stuff, but I understand that point of view. But what I'm saying is
mm-hmm.
I have a tendency from time to time we give away a reading where people can just give us a call and say, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
like winning a reading. It's like winning a reading, and I haven't done that in a long time, so I felt like it seems like you have some situations you don't really want to talk about in the air, but you really want to get the answers. So you're more welcome to call me to get a free reading.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. Where are y'all? Where are you? It's just you yourself, but I heard a lady earlier, so I didn't know whether she was
That's
a
Heather.
Part of the team. Okay.
Actually, me and Heather live in the same city. She was just, she likes to go out and be in the city. She's like my remote.
Oh, okay.
I'm here inside running the switchboard, and she's out there doing the talking to the people
oh.
in town, and she's
mm-hmm.
basically out and roaming. She's a roaming reporter, I guess.
Oh, I see.
What
city is it, or what state is it?
It's called Manitou Springs, and we're in Colorado. We're in
oh,
the mountains.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, Colorado. Never
mm-hmm.
been there before, but I know it's a very interesting place.
That is true.
No, it's very,
very
cold. No, it's very cold. So what is your phone number?
Oh, well, you want to contact me? Contact me tomorrow, because I got it's like almost midnight here. Okay. I don't know where you're at, but it's almost midnight here. But seriously, you can call me tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just give me a call and just it's 740-500-8863.
Well, okay then. I don't know if I'll call, but you know, you just seem so sensible to me. And sometimes you need that calm flow, you know, to help you out a little bit. Because I help people myself,
like
but.
Right, I'm just saying I gave you the idea. I gave you the free reading. So whatever you want to utilize it, feel free to do so, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. What time are you going off the air?
I'm going off the air in about 8 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have an appointment with the mountain. It's my time. I do a two-hour show. Sometimes it can be a little longer.
You have an appointment with what?
I have an appointment to go hiking on the mountain right now. It's I have to go. See, when I get done,
tonight?
I do readings. If I do a bunch of readings, and if I do a bunch of, like I do the radio show, that's my way of going and getting away from everything for a while. Yes, I have this really cool flashlight that I take with me. It's very bright, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
I'm very orthodox. I don't sit here and do anything normal. I go hiking at midnight. Sometimes I go hiking at 2.
Oh, please be careful.
It's like,
I said, please be careful. My God, you going out tonight?
Oh, yeah, I go out. Actually, I've gone out every night. I mean, there's something I do, something here and there.
Just to relax your mind, your head.
I have to clear everything out. I always tell people the reason I need all that time for myself so I can be as good as I am and the idea of helping other people. So, you got to help yourself before you can help other people. And I always take that consideration. Because I've actually been kind of neglecting that lately, too, as well.
Yeah.
Because my angels keep telling me that my cards keep saying, you need to go out and have more fun. Because all you keep doing is going from the shop, coming home and doing work. So it's like the radio show. Go to the shop. I have a website I work for. Go in there. And that's been my schedule.
Yeah.
So I have to have some fun somewhere.
Yeah, and that's a problem. A lot of people don't know how to have fun. I know I'm one of them. So, yeah,
that's how you get burned out when I pitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to disappear for about an hour after this is all over with.
Wow. Gosh.
It was really nice talking to you.
It was nice talking
in.
To you. Okay, let me, one question. Are there any wolves? I'm curious.
Are there what?
Are there any, like, bears or wolves or something in where you going to hike? No.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's been a couple times. I remember one night I went hiking, and we had to go up this little trail before we actually get to the path I go hiking on. It's called the incline.
Yeah.
And I was going up the path, and I turned my flashlight on to make sure my flashlight was working, and there's this big, it's called a mule deer. They have big ears, and they're deer, big deer. And I'm, like, 2 feet from this sucker going, whoa, like, where'd you come from? I mean, they won't hurt you, but they sure startled me. And a couple of months ago, I came down from my hike, and I'm coming down. There's a main road over here. I come down before I get back to my apartment, and I ran into a bear, literally.
Oh,
I came around the corner, and there's this bear going through the trash. And like, next thing I'm like 5 feet from him going, now I see why I was getting this little voice in my head saying I need to go to the other side of the road. Because I came right around that corner, and there's a bear.
Oh, God.
But also learn something about when you go hiking like that late, bears and deer are colorblind. So when you see one, as long as you stand very still, they can't see you. You just stand still until they actually move on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so so you're good to go. I tested that theory, too, because I sit there and I saw a deer, and I kept on kicking a kick of gravel, and the deer would look around, but never do anything, and then I got real still, he'd go right back to what he was doing. Yeah, so it's like, and the bear, too. I said, I was hiding behind this car, and the bear is going through the trash. So I was like, oh, bears are colorblind, too. So I kicked up a pebble. He looked around, and then he just went right back in the trash can. Next thing you know, he started hopping down the hill, down the road. So what I did was I waited until he got to a certain point, and I walked right by him. And he never saw me.
Oh, my goodness. So wait a minute. So if you think he had assaulted you, what do you think he would have done? Ran?
Yeah, you see, one thing about bears is you don't run because they'll chase you down because they think you're playing.
Oh, okay.
I really can't get to the notion. One guy said what you need to do is lay down and play dead. And
yeah.
I said, but that can actually put you in a position where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put, I'm not going there. So I did some research and found out the bears here,
mm-hmm.
they're colorblind. All they can do is see is black and gray.
Wow. God, that's good to know. I mean, thank you for that information, but that is very good to know.
No problem.
You be very careful tonight. You be very careful tonight, okay? It was nice talking to you. Yes, nice talking to you.
You too.
Have a
blessed day. You have a great night.
Okay.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's see. We got two other people in the queue, and we're going to give it to you. Let's see, we'll go to area code 912. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Bernadette. How are you?
Bernadette.
Yes.
Well, how are you?
I'm just saying that.
Where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Georgia?
Yes.
I was kind of curious. I actually met a girl named Bernadette, I think, in my shop.
Oh, really?
But she's from Pueblo. She's from Pueblo, Colorado, so.
Oh, okay. Now I'm originally from Pennsylvania.
No, I'm originally from Ohio.
Okay. Some menu.
Yes, we all run from those places, don't we? Anyway.
Yeah, seems that way.
So how can I help you tonight?
I was wondering kind of just a general reading or anything I should know about the future kind of thing. I'm not really sure.
You're not really sure?
I wanted to kind of know about my past lives, so I'm kind of scared to hear it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Usually with a situation of past lives, when you look at yours,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some reason I feel like the Midwest is not your favorite place to be. And I feel like that there was actually, to me, I get the impression there was actually three past lives that you had, and the way I see it, it's the Ohio Valley. Now, the Ohio Valley back in the day was actually Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Kentucky before they actually became states. So it was like a territory. It actually shows connections with a lot of things. With when we look at the ideal mishaps, it's basically dealing with Native Americans and stuff like that. I don't know how you feel about Indians or Indian people.
I don't know much about them, to be honest.
What's that?
I don't know too much about them, to be honest. I know the basics.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations you have some associations with Indians. If you found out Indian people, if you found out you had some kind of, I don't know, anger toward them, it would help you understand why. It's amazing how we pick up things, too. It's like looking at things. Some of the things I've learned on a lot of these things, we're actually aware of everything, and not aware, even when we're not aware of things, that are something about us is always picking everything up, and our brain's always making records of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there actually, I read this one little situation. For an example, it was the idea was a lady had gotten really close to her her baby doctor,
mm-hmm.
and so. They had this really good relationship, and then they went through and had the baby, and the doctor was there, going through the delivery and that kind of stuff. But for some reason, after the birth was over with, when she was in recovery for the 2 days she was in recovery, she was very hostile toward him. And what was so funny about the whole thing is neither one of them knew why. They were both baffled by the whole thing. It wasn't until they realized that they had given her anesthesia, and she was under that influence,
mm-hmm.
and it's like people in comas. They can hear everything you say. And that's what this was. She was picking up on things when him and the nurse were being very cold and treating her like an object. Instead, they thought she was, you know, they thought she was out cold, unconscious. So they were basically saying, you know, certain things, even cracking jokes and stuff. And she picked up everything. So therefore, afterwards, she wasn't conscious of all the things she picked up either, but her, you know, her subconscious, herself. Yeah, her real self, yeah, was very aware of the whole thing. So therefore, that's why she was hostile toward him, which was kind of cool because when they figured it out, she didn't have a hostility anymore. Because she also had she had the thing where she heard everything, but now she had a little bit more information of why they were doing what they were doing, because they wasn't aware that she was hearing that thing. So that neutralized everything. So she was able to get rid of the hostility and not focus so much on it, you know, so she could clear that part out of her life. I feel like some things with that situation with the Midwest and the idea of that territory, seems like there's a lot of things that happened that wasn't really a good thing for you. And it's kind of influenced a lot of things. Maybe it's the idea why you haven't really had an influence and the idea, not influence, but contact.
Yeah.
Sometimes subconsciously we can actually avoid situations and people that we've experienced in past lives so they don't happen again.
That makes sense. So.
Mm-hmm. So it's like looking at yourself and not getting angry with yourself. When you get into the situations, just look at it for what it is. Go, okay, now I know why. I don't know. Like I said before, I picked up 3 past lives in an area, and then you can actually see you, for some reason, seem like it's coming across even more clear that you actually lived more in Ohio than you did Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Pennsylvania seemed like it was more of a foreign place to you.
That's where I grew up, but I'll never call it home. That's what I always say about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Never. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if you'd be able to answer this question, but my husband just got home from deployment for medical reasons, and we've been trying the past 2 years to have a child. I don't know if you
mm-hmm.
could think of seeing one in the future, a second one.
Say it won't, okay.
If
I heard the first club, you're going to have to go?
No, I said if you see any children in my future. I have a daughter from previous marriage.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. My phone.
I thought you said you had to go. I'm like, okay. No. That was quick. No, what I was going to say was, I was going to say yes. I do feel like there's something about that, having a child. But actually, I pick up on... I want to sit there and say about it maybe next year and a half. And also see... One thing I should ask a question before I even put it out there, the idea, what would you like to have before I tell you what I see you having?
It wouldn't matter gender. Health is more important to me rather than gender.
So it doesn't matter if I tell you or not? That's why I want to make sure, too.
No, I don't care. It's okay.
Okay. It's going to be... This is the time I wish I had a freaking machine where I could go drum roll. boy. I keep getting
Aww.
A really strong impression of boy.
Oh, that makes me happy because I already have a little girl.
So with the situation with your husband, you'd have 2 boys.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. I'm sorry. It's just the way it came to me, okay? Now you're going to have 2 little boys.
Yeah.
That's just the way I just pick his personality up, too, as well. Almost like you get the impression he should stop blaming everybody for everything that happens in his life and start taking responsibility. I know there's some things when we have health issues. No, I'm talking about your husband and the ideal of certain things that are happening in his life. It's the ideal. I mean...
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Because I feel like if he could change his perception, a lot of things would heal in his life and his body, too, as well.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to play the blame game with certain things.
Yes, he does. You know, the easiest way to combat the mind game is to say nothing.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah, because the first time you open your mouth to say something back at somebody when you're angry,
yeah.
you give your power away.
That makes sense.
And that's what they want you to do because they feel powerless themselves. So, I mean, seriously, I looked at with my daughter. She would sit there and do something, I would just sit there and look at her. And then finally she would just go, I'm in trouble. Yes, you are. And it's one of those things where, see, I have a friend of mine who tried to do that to me. I just stared back at her. And she's just like, okay, you're right. It doesn't work on me because I can do it as much as you. But then again, I think sometimes we need to look at people in our lives that don't intimidate us. You know why they don't intimidate us? because they're us. And we actually do like them and trust them. And I think that's the problem they have, too, is they can trust us. They like us. They can trust us. And they're going, okay, this has never happened before. Well, just because it hasn't happened before, for some reason it's happening now. So it's the idea of appreciating each other. And I was to turn and say that your husband has a tough time with that appreciation thing, too, as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because he doesn't really appreciate himself and the idea of tapping into his own abilities of healing, intuition, realizing he's been creating his whole life. Nobody else. There was nobody there that day that crazy stuff happened to make those decisions for you. You did it. But like I always tell everybody, when you sit there and focus and realize, I created this life, I don't like this life. Well, the good news is, since you created it, you can also recreate it. Redo it again. It's like putting yourself in a procession of thinking that you are a designer. You designed this life. Okay, I don't like that design. Okay, it's time to come up with a different one and create a different life.
That's funny. I've been talking about that with my sister lately, about kind of like redoing our perception on things with life and such.
Mm-hmm.
Of looking at life in a different perspective or a different light.
Sometimes you gotta listen to your friends. Okay?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying, a couple of months ago, I was fearful I was going to get behind on my rent, and my friend came up and says, you're never behind your rent. And I said, you know something? You're right. I never am, so I'm not going to be. And for some reason, well, we know what the reason was. It was a perception, because I was feeding into, I guess, victimhood. I was feeding into negativity. I was listening to people around me. And then she came out of blue and said, you're never behind your rent. Okay, you're right. I'm not. And just that was just a way to take me out of that whole situation, and I had the money way before it was due, and we're going to do it again.
It worked out in the end.
I started getting really happy about the whole thing, where I wanted to sit there and go, it's like you get those voices that say, okay, what do you really want to do? And I said, I want to pay my rent 6 months ahead.
Can past ones influence intuition?
Can they what?
Like influence intuition or your perspective? Like loved ones have crossed over.
Can past loved ones interfere?
Like, I feel like been doing a lot of changing in my life, like between my degree and just my view on life in general. And I feel like I'm seeing it the way my mother used to, and my mom, like in a better light. My mom passed away last year, and I feel like it's somehow an influence in my perspective now.
Mm-hmm. I get the impression it's a combination of your mom and also the idea of opening your mind up to the possibilities. You can actually hear messages from your angels clearer, too, as well.
Do they have any messages for me?
No, they just gave you one. Anyway. No, it's one of those things. It's like looking at you right now. I would sit there and say, the one message that keeps coming to me is the idea that you're on the right path, and so keep going. Keep focusing on exactly what you want. Because the world is going to sit there and say, no, no, no. You got to do this, this, and this, and this, which goes against the idea of people have a tendency to go, well, I can't do that because I have all this responsibility. And it's the idea of realizing that those responsibilities are also pointing out to you how could you better take care of your responsibilities. Being somewhere where you don't want to be at, which is a struggle every freaking day, or being somewhere where you totally love it. Because you'll see sometimes, I've seen this before too many times, where it's like, those things fade away as quick as you make that change in your thinking. So therefore, it's just the idea, what do you want to really, it's like, there's nothing wrong with speaking your mind within your relationship and people around you, but it's the idea of being true to yourself. You know, I did this one time. I told my girlfriend that the girlfriend I had at the time was actually my fiance many years ago, where I said and told her flat out, it's like this, you know, if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it. It's not disrespectful or anything like that. It's just the ideal that when you ask me a question, there's two answers, yes or no. Will you do this for me? And I have the right to say yes or no without you saying and getting mad and the idea of trying to manipulate me to doing it anyway. Where we ask the question, why'd you even ask? I want you to say, do it, which I still wouldn't have done it anyway, but... So she came to me one day and she goes, could you do me a favor and take the trash out? I said, no, I will not. I said, you have three healthy kids who don't do anything but trash the freaking house, and I'm tired of mopping this floor every 3 hours because they keep tracking everything in. So therefore, if you keep them busy, maybe we won't be cleaning this house up so much. And she goes, well, you did tell me that you, if you didn't want to do something, you wasn't going to do it. Yeah, but that's not my point. Okay, look what I also said. It wasn't just, sometimes I think it's all she heard. I'm not doing this. She didn't hear the last part of the saying.
She didn't hear the part about her kids
have,
to make it better.
Right, so I actually learned from that and started saying, I think you should have your kids do all this stuff because I'm not doing it. Then she heard it. So it was just the idea of learning how to communicate with somebody who has a tendency to only hear what she wants to hear, is to say the first thing first, what she always heard, and turn it around. So see, there's always solutions for everything, how to deal with people, communicate. Just because it didn't last doesn't mean it wasn't successful in some ways to learn things from. That's what I'm saying. Because that was centering, you know, it was one of those things where you kind of, I think we're all kind of sad when things don't work out because we saw the potential. But then again, we should also look at the situation. Maybe what we're seeing is the potential of the kind of relationship we want, which this person is telling us they can't give us. So they can't be the one.
Yeah. I can relate with that with my daughter's father. It's just, it may have failed, but I learned a lot about myself and self-worth through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a complete
So what you got to do, it's the idea, people think it's being selfish when you're being true to yourself, but no, you're not. Because once you compromise, it kind of compromises everything. And that relationship is going to go and be compromised as well. Because sometimes I feel like some relationships could have lasted if someone would have just gotten a backbone and says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not doing this. And we've seen a lot of situations where people have a tendency to compromise themselves to make a relationship work, not realizing all they're doing is giving away bits and pieces of themselves. They're not making a relationship work. They're giving up everything because of the fear they have within themselves. I'm going to be all alone. So therefore, I have to make this work. Or I've had three bad relationships, so I got to make this work, not realizing you're still not learning.
Yeah.
Pretty much you'll have the same relationship again.
Yeah.
So, do you have any more questions before we zip out of here?
Has my mom said anything?
Tell you the truth, no. I get the impression with that situation between you and her. She's
mm-hmm.
A lot of times what happens is with relationships and stuff like that, and people ask me questions, when you don't get a message, it's usually because that person is really connected to you, and they want you to listen to them.
I feel like
so you're coming,
daughter a lot.
Right. So it's the ideal. She has a tendency to know how to communicate to you.
Okay.
So that's what she wants to do. It's kind of funny because a lot of times I don't hear anything because they don't want to come to me. They want you to listen.
That makes sense. That sounds like my mom, too.
Yeah, she seems like she's a very hard-headed woman.
She's hard as they come.
Are we what?
I said she's hard-headed as they come.
She wouldn't be a Taurus, would she?
She was a Gemini.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Geminis do come off with the same kind of energy as a Taurus because that very strong masculine side can give them the situation being very strong and stubborn. But also, some people don't like Geminis because they feel like they're too indecisive and too minded. But they don't realize once they get balance between those two,
mm-hmm.
they're very strong people.
That was
and I think it's one of the things about your mother. She came to a point where she basically started accepting herself for who she was, which made her a strong person. So she wasn't a person to compromise hardly ever.
Yeah. That's
okay. I'm serious. She comes up like a Taurus to me. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
she's got stubbornness. She's hard-headed. And she can talk.
Okay. I admit a lot. Yes, she's a doctor. So she was.
Yeah. So see?
Is there any personality traits for Sagittarius? That's my life.
Huh?
Question. My last question is, what are the characteristics for Sagittarius?
Well, Sagittarius can be very high energy. as long as they don't let it. I don't know. It's like the idea they have a tendency to have a very strong sense of loyalty, too, as well. That can actually work against them, the idea of keeping them in relationships longer than they should. So they have a tendency to keep making excuses. Well, I got to keep doing this. I got to work on this. And that. Well, it's that loyalty. But the good thing about the whole thing is, if you're in a good relationship, you only have loyalty, so it works for you. See, it's kind of amazing when you look at the freaking signs and go, okay, people look at that and say, okay, loyalty keeps you in places where you don't want to be at. They have a tendency to focus on that, not realizing. But if you put yourself in a positive situation, it works for you instead of against you. I feel like you have, it's also like most Sagittarius I know, it's like tapping into a battery. When your energy is low, they have high energy.
I've never heard
they might
of
not utilize it. They might not utilize it themselves. No, I had a friend of mine who was a Sagittarius. She came to my shop with her friend, and my friend, she was married. She came with her friend, and I'm sitting there, and as soon as Regina sat down, I just grabbed her hands. We was holding hands, and she was like, her friend was like, you knew that she's married, right? Yeah, I do, but it's been a long day. Regina's like tapping into a battery. I need to be recharged.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, look at Regina. She goes, you're right. She just nonchalantly, she's okay. I wish I could actually run into her again. I haven't seen her in years. But she was very, she was a blonde. So she had a tendency to be very ditzy.
Oh.
But after I got to know her for a long time, she used to tell me that her ditziness, she, her blonde hair, her ditziness, as she called it, was all an act.
Mm-hmm.
It got her away. It got her, yeah, it got her what she wanted and everything. Like she said, I use it for my advantage. If people are going to treat me like a certain way, so therefore I'm going to take advantage of it. Because they are basically taking advantage of me, of thinking I'm ditzy. So I just kind of reverse it on them. I was like,
she's
really?
Smart. She's clever.
Yeah. Very, yeah. Sagittarius is very intelligent, very smart. Usually have very high IQs. But sometimes have a tendency to have a lack of, what do you call that?
A lack
common
of.
Sense.
Oh.
Common sense.
Yeah, I understand.
Not
thank
all.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I'm just saying, with the situation of Sagittarius is, sometimes people have a tendency to go against the norm because they have actually really focusing on their true selves and spirit and that kind of stuff. So therefore, kind of has a tendency to not be true as a Sagittarius. Plus, it depends on what your birthday is too as well, because I've seen a lot of people have a tendency to take on two or three different traits. And that's just not a Taurus or a Sagittarius.
Okay.
So that's why, you know. So just sit there and do one thing. Just accept yourself for who you are, which is what you're doing. So that's why I think that's why they got the message you're on the right track. You're on the right path. Just keep going.
I'm starting to. I'm learning.
Because you're evolving very quickly, so.
Thank you for my reading. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. If you ever want to get a private reading, please give me a call. I love it because I love doing private readings and that kind of stuff, so. Yeah, see. I went blank for a minute. My phone number is actually 740-500-8863. And actually, I forgot to tell everybody that July is one of those months where if you go to my website, everything on my website is actually, you name the price, what you want to do, how much you want to pay. Whoa.
What's your website?
What's my last name?
Website.
Oh, sorry. My website. It's www.psychic_journeyman. One word.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, psychicxjourneyman.com. Seriously, if you go on the website and look at all those things on there, whatever you want. You name your price, you call me up. We go from there. All right.
Thank you. I think I kept you past your time. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I've actually called people back, and because I didn't get to them quick enough before I ran out of time, I've actually called people back and said, okay, ask your question.
That's nice.
So you're good. Well, thank you for calling in, too. I really appreciate it. And you have a fantastic, what is today?
Today is Friday.
It's Friday, so you have a great weekend, okay?
I will. Thank
you. Well, actually, you're right. But where are you at?
Georgia, East Coast.
You're right. So you are. It is Friday.
Friday.
I still got 10. Yeah, I still got 10 minutes.
Oh, you're still on Thursday.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? You're talking to Thursday as I'm talking to Friday. That's just weird.
What?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you have a fantastic weekend. I'd love to hear from you.
Love you. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right, that's our show for tonight, so therefore we'll be talking to you guys all later. And join us again next Tuesday and Thursday for the Psychic Ex-Journeyman Spiritual Roundtable. Join us. We'll be talking about angels, God, archangels, past life readings, past life regression, angel card readings, also tapping on the idea with my co-host. I'm looking at a roundtable conversation about relationships. Seems to be the most thing that comes to the forefront. And also Atlantis, which is the ideal combination of past lives and Atlantis, that we've actually seen those two together, but now we're starting to look at the situation where Atlantis might actually be more of a situation of the present. So join us next Tuesday as we discuss the ideal. Could Atlantis still exist in the process of all the things that we've been experiencing, even the runways in Peru and those kind of things, instead of being alien technology, could it also be Atlantean technology? So join us, and we'll discuss it and see what you think. You all have a good night. Have a great weekend. May, like we always say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And you guys all have a good one, and we will see you next Tuesday.